Weekend Real Estate with Kevin Turner. Thanks to Calypso Bay. Live your dream lifestyle in Southeast Queensland's premier waterfront development. CalypsoBay.com.au.
23 minutes past 8. Welcome to the show. Steph is back with the news headlines at 8:30. And if you've got a contribution you'd like to make, 13 13 32 is the number, and we will happily take your call. Over the last couple of weeks, I'll take responsibility, been fairly critical about first home buyers and how they should stop their whinging. I'm not the only one. There are a number of commentators have been saying similar things about first time buyers who just get on with it, suck it up, and do whatever they need to do to get into the market. Well, in an open letter that was released recently, Managing Director of MoneyQuest, Michael Russell, said it's about time we stop blaming first-time buyers. He joins me. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Kevin.
Michael, you say that we should stop picking on them, they're becoming disheartened and frustrated by so-called property experts blaming first-time buyers for their difficulties getting into the property market. Why did you feel compelled to write this letter? Are you getting a lot of feedback?
Look, I am, and I, having been CEO of Mortgage Choice previously and another mortgage aggregator for 7 or 8 years before that, I've been dealing with both first home buyers and first time investors for a long time, and I think the real issue is that first home buyers are an easy victim at the moment, but they've got nothing absolutely to do with the root causes. And the change behaviours of first home buyers are really one of a changing generation.
And yes.
I get frustrated that there is a significant generational change occurring at the moment that's going to have future consequences. And rather than, laying blame, and let's face it, the word selfish is being used in the context of assigning blame. These people using the word selfish are just not accepting that, young kids today in their early 20s are very different in their behaviours and attitudes and outlook than, when we were in our 20s and buying our first home. And, the circumstances are very different, as you know. And I've got a lot of our brokers listen to your program. The housing market was very, very different 25 years ago. Now population growth has well and truly outstripped infrastructure planning. We've had a demand and supply problem for years now that was actually the inverse of what we had 25 years ago. Investment loan interest deductibility had no impact when we were, on demand, really, when we were looking for our home 25 years ago.
And of course, we all have our challenges, Michael. This is the difficulty that I have, is that I recall when we bought our first home, even though both of us were working, the banks would only ever allow my wage in the calculation. In other words, no matter what Carolyn was earning was irrelevant. They would only take in one wage. They wouldn't allow us to keep an investment property. We had to sell the property and then move to the next town, because I was moving around a lot in radio in those days. So there were a number of restrictions on us, and we had to save. We had to save a considerable amount of money to get into our first home too. I just think sometimes it's easy to lay blame and say, people of our generation have just gotten rich on the back of property and made it more difficult for first-time buyers because the property market's gone up so much. That's the problem I have, Michael.
Yeah, and I can certainly understand that, but I think a lot of people that I talk to that are initially critical of young first-home buyers have a short memory. It wasn't as hard. Yes, we had to save, and I was one of those people that, moved 25 kilometres out from where I was working to buy my first home, but it wasn't as hard to buy our first home as it is now.
Yeah, but we settled a lot easier, Michael. I mean, I remember our first home, we didn't have any curtains, we hardly had any furniture. We made sacrifices, whereas nowadays I think this current generation seem to want everything all in one go, the biggest home they can get instead of making some sacrifices and saying, okay, I want to get my foot on the property ladder, I'm happy to rent for a while and go and buy an investment. Surely that's the way to get into the market.
It is, and a lot of our clients are doing just that.
Yeah,
they are. You know, a lot of one of the strategies I love, because our business is all about encouraging people to grow personal wealth via property, focusing on the right property, getting good sound advice, whether it's from a property specialist or a mortgage broker. So, you know, I'm certainly an advocate of that. And one of the strategies, you know, we encourage is certainly, you know, we've got a generation that's living at home a lot longer than we did. You know, these kids are choosing to live at home and often to build wealth, combine it with some international travel, because, you know, the world of media, the avalanche of media now through online's made the world a much smaller place.
Yes.
So a lot of these young people are doing what we never did. They're trying to tick off a few bucket list items early.
Good on them.
Absolutely, and that's combined with living at home. And we're encouraging them, look, buy an investment property as your first home, because, you know, you don't have to, you know, be paying a commercial rent at home. So while you do have a saving ability, buy an investment property, get yourself into the market, you know, allow yourself to build some equity in that investment property, and that'll provide you with a choice when you're ready to buy your first home for occupation or buy a second investment property. One thing we, you know, over I've been doing home loans for 30 years initially with a bank, and one of the things I, you know, absolutely focus on is it's all about the right property. And I hear a lot of people, you know, saying, oh, it's all about yield and return, and I'm very old-fashioned. I always forego yield and return in favour of capital growth.
Yes.
Because for me, capital growth allows an individual to be able to build up equity to give them choices. So
that's certainly how we became wealthy, Michael.
Absolutely. And there are many first home buyers that are doing that. They're entering the market, and, you know, but I think, you know, first home buyers have always represented about a quarter of all new home starts.
Yeah.
They're now down to 14%. And I guess I wrote the article to say, hey, look, two things. Generations have changed, and they always will change. And it doesn't serve any purpose labelling them lazy for their change behaviours.
No.
It's got to the point now where it's actually becoming quite alarming, because at 14% and dropping, the intangible benefits that no one talks about,
yep,
of home ownership, you know, being a real investor in your community, being a good social citizen, having pride that you own a home, if these things are removed from society over the next 25 years, if we become a nation, if the young people become a nation of renters, that's not good. That has other social implications. And so what I'm saying is, rather than just criticise, whether you're on the side of the property investors and you make your money from property investors, rather than criticise, we should be trying to stimulate discussion around finding solutions for these people.
Well, we're not going to solve it this morning, that's for sure, no. Michael, but I appreciate your time and I love your passion. Thank you so much for joining us.
Terrific. Thanks, Kevin.
Good on you. Michael Russell, who is the Managing Director of MoneyQuest. And yeah, he's right. We've just got to find some solutions to, it's not going to go away. So we are on your side, but anyway, not to worry.